Like Brother Bill, I've never heard the song, but I know the reality of those words in my own life, my own heart. We've been talking the last couple services about the love of Christ, last Sunday night about God's love being unchangeable. You know, there have been a few people in my life that I've been amazed at how far their love goes. I've seen parents treated so bad by their children, but they just keep loving them. Their long suffering, their mercy just goes on, and others. But you know, anything that we see on a human level, it's but a shadow of what and who God is. Because His love doesn't just go for a little while or a long ways, His love is everlasting. His mercy doesn't just endure a few millennia, but His mercy endures forever. And we should rejoice in that, because every one of us have needed that kind of love and that kind of mercy in our lives. Thank the Lord for the beautiful songs that speak to our hearts. Appreciate each one of you being here. I want to ask you again, if you have your Bibles, to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. These same two verses I want to read again, although look in a little different direction. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we bow before you this evening, so thankful. So we've been reminded in the words of song and different songs, Lord, we are able to receive a love from you that never, never gives up on us. Your mercy follows after us. And all of our shortcomings and all of our failures, you're always there, your love, to minister to us, to restore us, to lift us up. So, Lord, we give you praise, and we ask tonight for your help. We need you again in this service. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak. Lord, take these feeble lips of clay and speak words tonight that will glorify you, that will lift up Jesus, that will encourage some soul. Lord, draw us closer to you, that in everything we do, you might receive the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, we focused primarily in verse 2 on the words, as Christ also hath loved us. Preached on the subject, the love of Christ, and though it was in many ways a very simple message, it is the most profound message of all, and that is the love that God in Christ has demonstrated to us. And my burden was to get across to each individual, not just that God loves the world, but He loves you. He loves me. And that we have that assurance as we ended the service in that beautiful little chorus, that Him, Jesus, loves me, this I know. And I say it again tonight, I hope that in these days ahead, that as you face some battle, as you are tried or face temptation, as you question what is going on, why this, that you'll be able to just step back and say, Jesus loves me, this I know. Amen? Amen. That is a truth that we can rest our souls on. But you know, when we have believed the love that Christ has for us, and we have opened our hearts to accept that truth for us personally, and of course that involves putting our faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, This thing that we call salvation is not over at that point. It's not done. It's not complete. Rather, it's just begun. Amen. So much of religion is directing their attention in the wrong way and almost entirely upon that entrance into the Christian life. But the fact is that believing and accepting Christ as our Savior, it's just the entrance. It's the beginning. And it is the beginning of a walk, a new walk, a new life. And that walk is defined in verse 2, as Paul says, and I want to use as our subject. It's a walk in love. Those words are what I want to bring your attention to. As I said this morning, I originally was thinking about them, and God just qualified, helped us to understand what it means to walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Many people in religion today, and I believe that most churches are filled with a majority of members who don't understand that real salvation, it is a walk in love. Amen? True New Testament Christianity, not this apostate, easy believism that has become so prevalent today, that doesn't change the heart or life, but true New Testament Christianity is a walk of love. And if what someone has experienced in their entrance into religion, joining a church or believing a few things, if it is not producing a walk of love, then they have not experienced the real thing. Amen? Let's accept it like God's word says, because true salvation, true saving faith, if it is real, it will always produce a walk of love. Now we think back a moment, and back not just to the beginning, but before the beginning. We know, and the Bible makes clear, that God, when he purposed to create this world and this universe, and these are just material things, but he created the world and he created the universe because he intended to create mankind upon this world. The Bible tells us in three words what is, I believe, the greatest description that could ever be given of God's nature and character. John wrote, God is love. I said, Brother Chris, why do you think that's the greatest? The Bible says God is holy, God is this, God, because love takes in everything. God is love. And so when he created man upon this world, he was creating a people to whom he could express his love. And in creating that people, his purpose was to have a family within which that love that was in his heart could not only be returned to him, but could be expressed to one another. That's the family of God. God created mankind because he longed to express his love to us and to have a family in which his love could be expressed first to him, but also and always to one another. Now, you know the story. You say, Brother Chris, sin came into the world. Satan came in and threw a monkey wrench in those plans, and everything was disrupted. But there's no need denying that, because sin came. Man fell. Amen? But we've got to remember, God is God. Satan is not God. God is God. Amen? He is the only God. And we need to have the faith to believe, contrary to so many of these wackos in religion today that have all their absurd ideals about end times. We need to have faith in the plans and the sovereign purposes of our God, that God is going to accomplish the purpose for which he created this world to be. Amen. He's going to have a people who love him. He's going to have an eternal family who express their love one to another. God will accomplish his plans. Amen. Nothing Satan or man can do is going to disturb that purpose of God. So part of God's design for us, I've said all that to bring to this. God created you and I to love him. Amen? That wasn't something Jesus came up with in the New Testament. All the way back when God gave the law to Moses, it was there that thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Amen. With all your heart. That has always been God's purpose for man. We were created to love him and to walk in a relationship, a personal relationship of love with him. Yes. And to walk in love in this world. Not only towards him, but towards everyone around us. Amen. Do you know that one of the things that made the Garden of Eden a paradise, it was a place of perfect love. It was where love reigned supreme. Sin disturbed that. But then God wasn't done with his plan. Amen. Because as the Bible said, in the process of time, in the fullness of time, when it was right, through the greatest expression of love that could ever be conceived, even by God, think of that. The greatest expression of love possible, God made in sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, into this world to die for our sin. And so God, who is love, who had created this world for and us for the purpose of love, he made a way when we had no way. Amen. He made a way through his own love for us to fulfill the purpose for which we were created. Hallelujah. Which was what? To walk in love, to live a life of love. And today, though some deny it, some don't understand it, mostly because they do not desire it, but today, through the sacrifice of Christ, through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, through all that God has made possible to us, we are able to walk in love. Amen. We are able to enjoy an experience with God and our fellow man that many generations have never been able to enjoy, because God has provided us all that we need. Hallelujah. Because God so loved us. Amen. He gave his only begotten Son because Christ so loved us, as we said this morning. He gave himself for us, and we could go on, because the Holy Spirit of God so loves us. He comes into our hearts to dwell and to fill us with all the love that we need. All. Say, oh, because I don't have it to live like. He comes to give us all that we need to love. All the love that is necessary to walk in love every moment of every day, to live a life of love wherever we are, whoever we are around, however hateful they may be. The Holy Spirit makes possible for us what to fulfill what God made us to be. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Amen. We are able to walk in love. But we need to recognize, when the Bible calls us to walk in love, Paul wasn't talking about coming in Sunday morning and put on your shiny suit and, you know, act that way, live right, you know, be everything you ought to be while you're in church on Sunday, and then go out and do your own thing the rest of the time. Amen. To walk in love is not about certain days and certain places like the church building. No, no, no. Dear ones, to walk in love is to live a life of love 24/7. Every moment, every day, every place, every person we may be around, however, disagreeable they may be. Amen. However unloving. Now, I'll tell you that most people in religion have a very narrow and a limited view of this phrase, this truth, to walk in love. There are those, as I've just said, that believe it's basically limited to certain days and certain places, and so you have, in this country, I can't speak for everywhere, but they have the same problem in Cuba. I go there, the brethren tell me that apostasy is real, because people are coming from the States spreading the junk that's in religion here. They think that Sunday is the special holy day, and so they gather just like they do in America and so many other places, and they look the part and they act the part, and they're in the right place at the right time, but then they go out and they have no concept of what it is to live a life of love Monday through Saturday. Amen. Amen. It's not just the United States or Cuba, it is the world over, because the devil has introduced an apostasy into religion which this world has never seen the likes of. But it's not going to go on, because God's going to wrap this up in His, according to His purpose and plan. Amen? Anyway, I dare not get on to that. But there are other people that, you know, they're not in the easy believism crowd, in the, you know, that Sunday morning church religion, but they are on the other side called legalist. And they have their rules and their regulations, and they have religious leaders telling them what you can do, can't do, where you can go and can't go, and what you wear and what you can't wear, and on and on and on. And they dot every I and they cross every T, and they very strictly live a life following those rules, and maybe in doing please some man. But I'll tell you what it produces, that kind of life. It produces misery, because it's not a life of love. And they don't do those things out of love. Amen? See, to walk in love, and Jesus is the only one that has ever lived a perfect life of love. It is to do always those things that please the Father. That's what Jesus said. But it's to do them for the right reason. It's not to do those things that God requires because we have some slavish fear that if I don't do them, I'm going to be punished. But it is to do those things because we love Him. That's what it means to walk in love, to live a life that pleases God because we love Him who has first loved us. We, living that life, we can say with Jesus, I delight to do Thy will, O Lord. Amen? Amen. Why? Because You have placed Your love within me. And because that love that You have for me is now dwelling in my heart, I love You and I want to, out of love. Love becomes the compelling motive. Love becomes the spring of our life. We do what we do because we love. That is the life of joy. That's the life of peace. That's the life that God created us for. Amen? To do the right things for the right reasons. You know, maybe in raising, maybe just me, but I'm sure most every parent went through it. You tell a child to do something and they do it, but they do it begrudgingly. I done it. Well, any virtue in that? No virtue, no real goodness in that. They did it because they didn't want the punishment that would come. Now, that's necessary when you're raising little kids. But when we're bigger kids, it's not God's desire to put His thumb on us so that we, out of slavish fear, will obey the things that He's commanded us to do. If you obeyed everything with no love, there would be no virtue in your life. Because you've done it for the wrong reasons. I'm just doing those things because I want to miss hell and go to heaven. You have no virtue. You don't know nothing about salvation. Amen. I'm talking about a life of love, walking in love. There's too many people do those things. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't use those things because we have a sense of self-preservation. We don't want to suffer eternally in that place called hell. We want to go to heaven, but if where we have begun has not brought us to that place, to where we do what we do because we love God, then we didn't find the real thing. Amen. To do all that we do because we love God. Imagine. Can you imagine such a life? I hope you can. I hope you are experiencing such a life because it's God's will and purpose for you. It's what He's equipped us for. So on a very basic level, just let me try to define this a moment so you have something concrete to take with you that helps some people. To walk in love, which means to live a life of love. It means, first of all, to walk in obedience to God, not out of slavish fear, but out of love to Him. We desire to please Him. Secondly, it means to express our love. To walk in love means to express our love to God. How do we do that? Through worship, through adoration, through personal devotion and communion and service. As I said today, real love will be expressed. Amen? Amen. But then, along with that, if we're going to walk in love, I'm going to be walking in love towards those that are around me. Amen? I'm not going to be just one of those who fool themselves and think, well, I love God, I just can't stand so-and-so. No, I've said it before, I'll say it tonight, it's tough as it sounds. If I could identify in your life the person you have the worst feelings for, I would tell you that is how much you love God. Because you can't love God more than you do your anybody around you. The man, what does the Bible say? The man that says he loves God and hates his brother? Is it in there? Anybody else know it's in there? I can turn it to you and read it. We say that we love God, but we can't stand our brother. We are fooling ourselves because we can't love God any better. Amen. I'm not upset with anybody tonight. I'm just telling you what a life of love is, what it is to walk in love. There's no need to fool ourselves. That means we are to express God's love to them contingent upon how they treat us. They treat me right out. No, we are to express, if we are going to walk in love, I'm talking about the real thing, not play church, not the fake stuff, not apostasy, not this junk that is being paraded as Christianity today. I'm talking about the real thing. If we're going to walk in love, we're going to treat others as Christ has loved us. Amen. Amen. That means all others, not just the church family who are so nice to us. But that means those other people out in the world that don't like you, and you know, they talk about you and they stick their tongue out at you. And the only reason you're not experiencing that is because you're living in Atlanta, Texas, and not San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York, because it's very real there. It's a whole lot worse than sticking your tongue out. And I said this morning, you know, Jesus told us that we ought to expect it. They persecuted Him, and He lived a life of perfect love. So if we live a life of love today, if we walk in love, it's not going to be looked upon so well by others. But to walk in love means towards all others. You say, well, Brother Chris, that's too hard. That just sounds like something impossible. Well, it is. For you and me and ourselves. It is impossible. And it will always be impossible until we open our hearts and allow God through His Spirit to do just what He promises to do, because He said, I will come and dwell in you, and I will shed my love abroad. And until our hearts are filled with divine love, what I've just described will always remain an impossibility. And the reason that preachers stand in pulpits in our nation, in our world, in our own community, and they say that people can't live like that is because they have not opened their hearts to God's divine love. They don't believe God's word. God makes possible what He created us for. Amen? Because of what He has done, God has made possible. And one of the reasons that people can't be content and happy living other ways, you know, when you live and someone lives in selfishness, when they live with hatefulness in their heart, or and whatever sinful attitude you want to describe, envy, bitterness, greed, I mean, you never can be truly happy and content, because that's not how we were created to live. We were created to live in love. We were created to love others. We were created to love God. Amen? And those allowing any of those kinds of attitudes, I said any, even one, allowing any of those attitudes will rob us of the joy and the peace that God made us for. Now, when we walk in love, we're going to be living contrary to this world, you know? You say, oh, Brother Chris, if everybody would just love each other, the problem is everybody doesn't. We are called to, and by God's grace, striving to, but the world's not, they don't care about living a life of love. They are wrapped up in selfishness and all the sinful things of this world. And so when we begin to walk in love, there are going to be many things in life that we, that the world does and takes part in, that we are not going to take part in. Amen? Amen? Yes. You know, I've heard people at times, because I'm amazed sometimes, if I will hold back for a little while and not tell people I'm a preacher, it gives them liberty to open up a little more. And then I spring it on them. Oh, yeah, I pastor down there. And they're like, whew. But I listen to people, and it's amazing. I've heard people, and some of them that know, they don't care that I'm a pastor or preacher. They try to justify, make excuse for anything. I mean, you would be amazed. I'm not talking about just gray areas. I mean some clear sin in the Word of God that people try to make excuse for. And by the way, and this is not even on my list, but I know it's a, one of the biggest things is why they can't treat people right. And sometimes people have asked, well, if that's wrong, why didn't God just put a rule in the Bible about it? You know, like, I don't see a rule in my Bible that thou shalt not drink Budweiser. No. But God told me to walk in love. You know, I've had more than one try to justify to me that their gambling is okay. God's fine with it. Really? Right to my face. Like, no. I don't see a rule in there that says, thou shalt not gamble. That's not in my Bible either. But God did tell me to walk in love. That means that I don't take advantage of others. That means I don't defraud other people. It means I don't try to take what's not mine. See, gambling, and I'm not here to, if somebody needs it, I'll preach a message on gambling, but I'm just telling you, that's, you know, it's amazing what people will do under the guise of religion. They want a rule regarding everything. You know, I brought it up to at least one that, you know, I'm quite sure that God doesn't want me, well, I know he doesn't at my age, but at any age. He doesn't want me getting in front of one of my fellow men in a ring or a cage or outside or anywhere else and beating one another senseless. Oh, but there's nothing. No, God wants me to love my brother. Amen? Amen. To love my brother. And if God's people would use their brains a little more and apply that truth a little further, it would change the life of the professing church in this generation. Because there are things that we won't involve ourselves in when we walk in love. Amen? You know, I've told people, I'll say it here, I mean, I'm on record, I don't care about this, because it's, I know how God feels about it. There's things that God's people don't do. You know, a woman of God is not going to enter some beauty contest and put her body on display before others, and neither will a man of God do that in some other kind of physical thing. Because that's not what love does. Amen? And we don't do our little children like that either. Not God's people. Religious people do that stuff, but not God's people. When we walk in love, we're not going to do things like the world. I'm not going to give you a whole list of reasons about that. Love prefers others before us. You see much of that today? Let's bring it closer. Do you see much of that in the professing church today? No, you got people climbing over each other, proving their superiority, showing I'm better, I'm smarter, I'm stronger, I'm faster. And every bit of it is contrary to the life of love. Every bit. Love does not lift itself up above others. Amen? God's people are not using their brains. They're following the world. Love doesn't desire the praise of man. Amen? I don't have to do things to get somebody to applaud me. I do what I do to please God because I love him. Amen. But that's not how the professed church is living in this generation. They're living just like the world, and you can't tell any difference. And that is a tragedy. It's because they know nothing of the reality of New Testament Christianity, which is a life of love. Amen. You cannot define true Christianity less than that. I could go on and on about that list. And I just touched on a couple things. But it is amazing what people want to put under the guise of religion today. You know, I hear these idiots on TV doing this and doing that and saying, thank Jesus for helping me. No, he didn't help you beat up your brother. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus never helped the first soul show up their fellow man. Amen?
Amen.
Never helped anyone to do that. But that's how we train them up now. Training them up to walk in the flesh. To walk in ungodliness when the Bible says that we are to walk in love. I know this is, I'm preaching to the choir tonight on Sunday night. I know that. God knows why he wanted this tonight. But There's only going to be one group of people that make heaven their home when it gets down to it. It's not going to be the baptized ones. It's not going to be the ones speaking in tongues. It's not going to be the flying under the Church of God banner or anything else. It's going to be those that are walking in love. Amen. That's all. Amen. And if you don't want to do that, you are not truly following Christ. If you don't want to and strive to walk in love. I know this, you know, it makes it, it's a whole lot tighter than this religious world is putting out today. Everything's easy. We've fooled a generation, and it would absolutely break our hearts. I'm closing. It would shock people, but it would break our hearts to know the church people that are dropping into hell from church pews every day. They've been forward, they've been in the water, they've done this, they've done that. But they have no interest in living a life of love. But this is true Christianity. I really had no idea when I came that this sermon would be quite so intense, but I pray that's your desire tonight. If you don't have that desire, I hope that you'll be honest with God and say, Lord, I need the real thing. I need the real thing. I need what your word tells me about. The salvation that changes me, that fills me with your love, that puts within me a desire to please you, to do those things because I love you and to love others. If you're missing that, you've missed the real thing. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. We'll have a verse or two of a closing song. Stand with us. Father, thank you.